Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
DirecTV Stream has the most local MLB games, which means it's never been easier to
root for the home team.
So whether you're rooting for a aura,
safe,
or even a
strike three,
or a
it's out of here,
root for your home team with DirecTV Stream, the most MLB games, period. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
You see whose name is everywhere?
Rich Eisen.
It's a persona for everybody.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And then what about the timing of this, Bruce Feldman? What about Urban? Because obviously USC doesn't have to make a move right now.
If he is 0-9 or 1-11, it wouldn't surprise me if he had, man, I don't need this.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Still to come. Oregon Ducks center Alex Forsythe. Two-time Oscar nominee, director Ken Burns. Plus, actor and comedian John Lovitz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Do not go anywhere. We've got two more hours of great sports talk and fun conversation with you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're going to talk movies, documentaries, and one in particular coming to PBS this Sunday. Ken Burns, one of the best filmmakers and documentarians ever. He documented, as we know, the sport of baseball and the Civil War. And his latest subject matter is Muhammad Ali, a four-part series that starts on Sunday. A great conversation coming up with him. John Lovitz, in hour three. I can't wait to talk to him. The guy cracks me up. Tales of a Fifth Grade Robin Hood is available right now on Tubi. And then yesterday, the passing of Norm Macdonald, shocking so many people. We've gone down a Norm Macdonald wormhole last 24 hours on YouTube. Obviously, we'll talk about that with John Lovitz in hour number three. The phone lines are open for you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Let's give out some money to a kid in college football.
Let's do that.
Why not? Why not? Thanks to our friends, our partners, Rich Eisen Show partners at Gorilla Glue. Each week we give out an award called the toughest player on planet Earth. And we hooked up with Gorilla Glue saying we want to give, in this new world of name, image, and likeness, we want to give a deal to a kid in college football that's not expecting it, doesn't see it coming, doesn't potentially already have one. You know, we might choose a quarterback, but maybe from a smaller school where name, image, and likeness dollars aren't pouring in. We want to give the NIL deal to a kid that's either A, not expecting it, or B, does all of the tough work in an NFL, or pardon me, in a college football game, right? I slipped right there. Got my Sunday hat on. So we identified last week Jordan Davis, defensive lineman of Georgia, after he had a terrific game against Clemson. We called him up. We told him, you got the toughest player on planet Earth award with Gorilla Glue. And what do you get for that? You get a $1,000 check from Gorilla Glue and free product.
Cash money.
Yeah, cash money and then glue. Some tape, too. A lot of good stuff.
Hey.
Everything needs fixing, right?
A lot of stuff breaking.
We called Jordan Davis. It was his first NIL deal. He hadn't had one. So that's the idea. So who to give it to this week? Well, when you are part of an offensive line that strolls into hostile territory, like, say, the Horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio, against the Ohio State University, and you are part of an offensive line that racks up 269 yards on the ground, which is the most by an opponent of the Buckeyes in Columbus since 2014. You hand the Buckeyes their first regular season loss since 2018. And you are sitting there as the center of the Oregon Ducks. And you grow great like that, like Alex Forsythe did. You are a Rich Eisen Show Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth.
The big uglies.
Again, not a sack pressure or a hurry in 145 snaps to start the season for the now fourth-ranked Oregon Ducks.
Whoa.
And, yeah, you're the Pac-12 offensive lineman of the week. Okay. What does that get you? Glue? No.
No.
$1,000?
No.
A pat on the back? Of course. Yeah. I get it.
Doesn't get you worldwide prestige.
Now, Jordan Davis did this last week. It's not part of the deal. I want this to be understood. The kid who we choose is not required to call into the show.
No, definitely not.
But each time, now, two times, the kid's like, you want me to call on the show? Like, of course.
Let's meet.
Let's meet. So is our winner on the phone line, Chris?
Yes, he is.
And the man of the hour, the Rich Eisen Show, Gorilla Glue, toughest player on planet Earth for week number two that we've been doing this in the college football season, is joining us right now on the Rich Eisen Show phone line, Oregon Ducks center, Alex Forsythe. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm definitely honored to, you know, get this week's Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth award.
You bet, man. We're psyched to give it to you for many reasons. First order of business is just you guys, you and your teammates, road grading for 269 yards in the horseshoe. What were you planning on doing that week? How were you able to execute like you guys did in the horseshoe?
Yeah, you know, I think going into the week, we had a game plan that was really run heavy. We kind of opened up the playbook. Coach Moorhead really kind of dug down and gave us a really, really good game plan. And, you know, the guys around me, Ryan Locke and TJ Bass, the guards next to me, Steven Jones, George Moore, Sala and Dawson, you know, all the guys that played that game on the O-line, really, you know, we buckled down during the week, and it felt different during practice and during meetings. You know, the guys were really, really locked in and what we were doing, and they're always locked in every week, but especially this week, it just felt different. And, you know, the physicality during Tuesday and Wednesday's practice was really unmatched, and I haven't seen it, that physical since I've been here. So we really stepped it up a notch, and all the guys, you know, CJ Verdell had a heck of a game. Travis Dye had a heck of a game. We really got the run game going. We knew as an offensive line, it was going to be on us if we were going to, you know, end up getting a W there.
And so you and the rest of the team got that big, huge win at Ohio State. What was it like in the locker room after the game?
Yeah, I can't even explain it. It was unbelievable. A feeling that I'll remember forever, and I'll be able to tell my kids about one day. It was unbelievable. Going into a hostile environment against, you know, a really well-respected and a really great opponent in Ohio State. And going in, and I know not a lot of people around the country thought we were going to come out with a win, so it made it, even that much sweeter to, you know, get the win and, you know, just celebrate with our teammates. We had some guys get hurt during the week and guys get hurt during the game, and you know, the guys who were behind them really just stepped up and just, you know, played their butts off and just showed a lot of mental and physical toughness and resiliency. So I was really proud of all my teammates.
And one of the many reasons why we also knocked on your door, Alex Forsythe of the University of Oregon, is your story as well. We noticed on your Twitter feed, it says RIP Dad.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there, Alex?
Yeah. Well, when I was, when I was 13, my dad passed away, and he was my biggest supporter, and my idol really growing up, and I still, you know, idolize him, and I try to live how he would want me to live, and be a leader, as good of a leader as he was. He was a great mentor and leader for me, and he really made me the man I am today. So, you know, I try to honor him in everything that I do and just playing the game of football. He loved watching me play. So I know he was up there smiling down on me when we got the win on Saturday.
Was he a big Ducks guy? A big Oregon Ducks guy?
Yeah. We grew up as pretty big Ducks fans, so I remember going to games with him when I was a kid. So it's really special for me to, you know, be able to play, and he might not be in person watching me, but I know he's watching me upstairs.
That's amazing, and I'm so glad that you're able to honor him the way that you are, and it's great for us to be able to honor you as well, and another reason why we do that, you could have guessed this coming, but anybody that does what they did to Ohio State at Ohio State, get some glue from me. If I can, if I'm giving away glue, you get glue.
I know you're a Michigan guy, so I knew you'd be excited. My whole family's from Michigan.
So okay, so they're
equally as excited.
They get it. Oh yeah, you get glue. You get glue, yeah. and $1,000 from Gorilla Glue, yeah, as part of the.
I know. I'm pumped. I'm excited.
Is this your first? Is this your first name, image, and likeness deal, Alex Forsyth?
We actually did have a little NIL deal. I guess I could, if you don't mind me promoting it right now. We have a T-shirt for the Oregon O-line that's on Twitter.
Okay.
You can find it on my Twitter.
Okay.
At Alex Forsyth 75.
Okay. All right.
And we have it's right up there. It's my pin tweet. It's a T-shirt, and all the proceeds they don't go to us. They're going to Food for Lane County. Which raises food for, you know, underprivileged people in Eugene, Oregon. So if you want to check that out, go to my Twitter, and just click on the link that's on my pinned tweet.
That's beautiful. What a great notion. But I'm talking about wetting your beak yourself. You're going to get $1,000 and some glue. And guess what? Because I understand offensive linemen, and I understand that it's a group effort. Gorilla Glue is going to give your entire offensive line some free glue too. Everybody's getting
it. Oh, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. That's big time.
Let's go.
Big time. I'm excited to tell them about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Gorilla Glue is like totally, because I understand the way it works. It's, you know, you obviously are centering this line, but there's everybody was pulling, it seemed like, and just slapping people around in Ohio State this past weekend. It was crazy.
Yeah, you know, we got a saying that's, we say five is one right before right before every single drive we give each other's knuckles all at the same time. We say five is one, and we just go out there and we roll. So that's how we do things.
Okay.
So that's how we roll.
Just be careful now though, because with the Gorilla Glue, your knuckles might actually stick together. So be careful.
You know, we'll have to be careful with that one.
Absolutely.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Of course, I'm trying to leave you in a better place, not just $1,000 in the glue. So do you need fixing around the house? You need stuff that you're going to be able to fix stuff? Like, what do you need fixing?
You know,
what do you think needs fixing?
I'm sure something in my apartment. I'm sure I could find something that I can work on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe when I go back home, my mom will have, you know, now that you heard about this, she'll make me do some chores around the house or, you know, fix something up that needs fixing. So, you know, she'll be grateful for that. So I'm sure she'll thank you for that.
Shower the glue. That's it, man, for everybody. It's going to be just great for everybody. Alex Forsyth, thank you very much. Congratulations on being the toughest player on planet Earth with Gorilla Glue and the Rich Eisen Show. We're thrilled to do this. I can't wait to see how the rest of your season plays out. Congrats, brother.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rich. It was a pleasure. Pleasure having me on.
Thank you, and I'm pleasure to have you for sure. Alex Forsyth 78. Everybody, check out his T-shirt and check out when he posts him with the glue. It'll be fun stuff right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I mean, I have a new favorite college football player. This kid's amazing.
Were they pulling all of them? Every last one of them. They were pulling. They're pulling center. Pulling guard.
Incredible.
Boom. They were just hammering people.
You said they're ranked number four? I didn't even see that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're four.
Wow.
I didn't know that
Ducks.
Either.
Ducks are back.
Oh, and guess what? They got a tough game this week, though. You know they're playing Del Tufo? Stony Brook. All the way out in Oregon.
Stony, as in Stony?
As in Stony Brook. From us growing up, Stony Brook.
I think my brother played them in hockey,
dude,
in college.
I cannot imagine how much money Oregon is paying Stony Brook to take a flight all across the country to just get
just
waxed
to lose by 50
by the Gorilla Glue, toughest player on planet Earth, and all of his teammates.
Stony Brook, oh my God!
It's funny you say that, because I was talking to my friend Lisa, who's a huge Oregon Duck fan. She went there, and I was like, "Hey, we got a guy on your team." I told her about it. She's like, "Yeah, I just don't understand why we're playing Stony Brook next week." I was like,
"They are." Hey, this award, toughest player on planet Earth, is brought to you by our friends at Gorilla Glue, makers of high-quality adhesives and tapes. Much like the players this award recognizes, Gorilla brings toughness and strength to even the most difficult household projects and repairs. Gorilla Glue for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Now, look, there's obviously a new metric here in play. I keep mentioning we're looking for somebody who's not expecting it. We're looking for somebody who does a job that doesn't usually get much recognition.
Right.
Now, there's somebody that if you do those two things plus this one, puts you at the top of the list.
Right.
Oh, can I guess, Rich?
Yeah.
Beat Ohio State?
Yeah. Yes.
let's check the schedule then. Who's and, Ohio State have?
Or come up with a soundbite like this. Now, look, when we started this concept of toughest player on planet Earth, mm-hmm. we're like, again, we don't want to go to the most famous programs, even though we have gone to Georgia and Oregon first, but we've gone to, again, a position group that you might not expect to have a name, image, and likeness deal. Yeah. Now, defensive back or safety might yeah. suffice on that front. Even if you're in Alabama, where I think every single player is getting some sort of an NIL.
They're getting something.
Just for waking up.
They're getting something.
You know, they might get a Folgers deal just for waking up. Right?
It's Maxwell House, too.
Something. You know what I mean? Okay.
Dunkin' Donuts.
But there's only one where the best part of waking up.
Right. Fair and balanced.
Just saying, okay. Just fair and balanced. You know what I mean? I understand. But Jordan Battle, sir, we have got you circled. Our eyes on you. This happened at the Alabama Crimson Tide media availability on Tuesday.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this, but do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching, quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many, but there are a few I like, and he always talking about touch D's or you know, suck on D's or all that.
Charlie.
I think he
meant
encouraging ones like.
So loud.
What?
I don't know how to follow that one up.
Touch D.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Now, hold on a second. Get ready to replay it again, Hoskins.
Move on, re-rack.
Because as always, re-rack. When something's so great, watching it a second and a third time, it's even better and you pick up on stuff. Now, listen, you know, we've talked about it here. Our favorite part of the famed Dennis Green rant, the Bears are who we thought they were, is after the rant and he has cursed and he's hit the podium and the podium's askew and his hat's all askew and he's done with his rant. It's a long pause and you hear Mark Dalton, one of the best in the business in the media in the NFL or anywhere, say, pause. Thanks, Coach. Matt Leinart will be next, okay? And again, we still haven't had Matt on the show. You got to have him on just because I need to ask him what it was like to go in the room after that. But so give a listen. Somebody, I think, on the Alabama staff screams no as he's revealed
that
Coach Saban likes making a D's nuts joke or suck on D's, okay? That's one of the all-time greats in any sport. Likes D's nuts jokes. Somebody screams no. And then I think a member of the SID staff says Charlie, setting up the reporter who then says
sure, like
okay. Give a run it back.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this, but do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many.
Here comes, listen.
But there are a few I like, and he always talking about listen. Touch D's or you know, suck on D's or all that.
Charlie.
I think he meant encouraging ones like.
So loud, I suck on D's.
I don't know how to follow that one up.
He's rock also back, so proud of back. Himself. We laughed so over it. Somebody screams no, and yeah. I want to know who screams no. That's my favorite part about it. Can you get to the middle of it there, Hoskins? Start it in the middle. Go for it. I don't care if we
I
see
like
the carrot
happy
at the bottom.
That kid is.
Here, just listen. Just listen, guys.
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many, but there are a few I like, and he always talking about touch D's or you know, suck on D's or all that.
No,
Charlie. No. Remember from History of the World? And one of the, you know, when the comedian, when you die at the palace, you really die at the palace. And there, he calls the emperor fat, and he screams, like, get off fat.
Get off.
Do not. Get off. Get
Ron Carey. Right?
No, it's
Ron
Carey. Get off fat. Get off fat.
That's like Brady's kid. Like, Dad, no.
Oh, my Lord.
That was fast, quick, abrupt. I mean, like, nope.
Rich, you know.
What it do? It's your boy Big Snoop D-O-double-G coming at you live from Los Angeles.
I love
and
that
my thing. DJ, DJ Mikey D. D is in these nuts.
I would fit in with Saban like that.
You would? Apparently.
I mean.
Hey, Dan Patrick had Josh Jacobs on the show a couple years ago. I think he might have had him on pre-draft or just when he began to start balling out in the NFL. And he asked him, like, you know, what's Saban like or whatever. And he revealed that Saban apparently likes D's nuts jokes. Like, he can't. Like, that's what he does in practice. I had no idea.
I had no
idea. Who's ever going to take the real estate when he provides the real estate to you to get a chance to interview him? Who's going to ask him, I heard you like these nuts jokes?
Man, I will.
I know how he's going to respond.
Uh-oh.
And why you had it, press these nuts.
I had no idea that we could say those two words together on this show because there's been about 10 times since I've been on this mic where I could have used that joke and I didn't do it.
Well,
this is news. This is topical.
Yes.
This is topical.
Germane.
Yeah, but now that you've said it and the cat's out the bag, you can't like reel me back in now is what I'm saying.
I think we can.
And we must.
I think we can.
And we must.
But we're for the moment we're in a outside of this segment. It's a D's nuts free zone.
I don't think you notice I still haven't said it yet, and I don't think it's possible. It's going to happen, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize.
How do you even set that question up with Saban? You're like, hey, coach.
Hey, coach.
I mean,
Rich, I can do it. I can do it.
What's the setup?
Okay, so you're Saban?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Rich.
Hey, coach. I was wondering, did you see D play last night?
Which play?
Did you see D play last night?
What's D play?
D's nuts.
I'm not saying to set it up.
How did the defense
I'm
do?
Saying how do you ask him? Coach, what's your favorite? Knock, knock?
Yeah, coach.
Knock, knock. Who's there? D's who?
Everyone has different senses of humor, coach. And we've heard you have a particular sense, about D's nuts jokes. Like, can you explain the origin?
Who's your favorite disc jockey?
Rick?
Rick who?
Rick
Hey, coach, I'll tell you who my favorite disc jockey is.
Rick D's nuts. Man.
This is content. It's content. What we're doing now is content.
I'm sorry.
All right?
My balls was hot.
Let's start a break. By the way, now that we got it out of our system,
it's not, though.
Ken's Burns. Ken Burns. Ken Burns. Everybody... Get this out of your system.
Yeah. Class it up.
We're about to talk about the greatest.
We're talking about the greatest.
Yes.
And this man.
My sports idol.
And PBS, where, again, I don't know if they have nuts or D's on PBS.
Rich, I was watching Sesame Street this
brought
morning.
To your Cage,
brought to you by the letter D.
By the
D what?
D is in D's nuts.
By the way, I think I have TJ's top five for this week. I think I got TJ's top five.
Roll your break, Peacock. Sirius, this Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Let's get serious. Ken Burns is next. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL Draft, which means for me... I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Layla Ali here on The Rich Eisen Show. What was that memorial like?
I think
you?
You're trying to make me cry on your show.
No, I'm not trying to do that.
I'm just messing with you.
I was crying. I know I was for days, quite frankly.
Yeah. You
know,
hard.
We had a full week on this show, one guest after another from your dad's life, whoever's come across him, talk about it. What was that day like for you?
It was amazing, you know, and it was surreal. I mean, there was so much going on. I saw people coming in from different countries, didn't even have a seat in the arena just to stand outside of it. And it just was like, wow, you know, how many people have been touched by my father? I mean, there's so much. There's nothing I can say that hasn't already been said, but even for me, that was just like a wow factor. My children, for the first time, really came to understand like how famous their grandfather actually was.
No kidding.
Because I remember the moment, you know, like, I shouldn't say I remember the moment, but I remember that you know he's famous, but then when you really find out, like, wow, all of these people came here for him. But I mean, there was just so much going on, but, you know, we have had to grieve, you know, after all of that kind of settled down as a family. But, you know, we feel like the whole world was grieving with us. So, and my dad will be missed, of course.
Do you remember that time for you when you first realized, oh my gosh, my dad is world renowned and famous?
Well, when I was old enough to start watching documentaries, when he could talk and, you know, just seeing what he fought for and what he stood up for and just understanding what he put on the line, you know, and the sacrifices that he made, that's when I really started to respect him more.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not trying to make you cry. I'm really not. I mean, but what your dad meant to millions, billions with a B, you can't really say that about anybody anymore.
No.
I mean, you could say that about your dad. You could say it about Mandela. You could say that about Mandela. You could say that about a Pope.
Mm-hmm, right.
That's basically who you could say that about in this day and age.
And it's amazing because he just was a person who tried to help everybody. Did what he knew was right and stood up for what he believed in, you know, and I think that at the end of the day, you know, that's what really made the difference. Yeah, he was a great fighter, but it's who he was outside of the ring is why people love him so much.
Right. And it's so difficult to do that, though. It's easy to say, you know, about who you are and what you believe in and standing up for it all the time. But you find it's very difficult to do that in daily life, or certainly athletes to do that in this day.
Yeah, and I see a lot. I see people do it. I try to surround myself with people who do it on a smaller level, of course, but just in your day-to-day life, you know, just taking it day by day and just having integrity and doing what's right. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of Muhammad Ali's. There's not supposed to be. You know, he was chosen to be who he was and to do what he did for the world.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Subscribe. Check out our entire archive. Right here on The Rich Eisen Show on PeacockTV.com, Peacock TV, back here on The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network as well. Okay, we got it all out of our system, I think, because it's time to class to join up here, folks. There's a huge documentary coming up starting on PBS this Sunday night at 8 Eastern Time, and the man who is putting it all together, I believe, Chris Brockman, is waiting on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line.
Yes, he is.
He's one of the best at what he does. The director and filmmaker and documentarian is back with a 4-part series. Muhammad Ali starts Sunday, September 19th at 8 p.m. on PBS. Ken Burns here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well. How are you doing?
I am doing well. What attracted you to the subject matter, Ken?
Well, this is co-directed with my oldest daughter, Sarah Burns, and her husband, David McMahon. We
Terrific.
Did the Central Park 5 film and Jackie Robinson together. So in some ways, this is a kind of obvious choice. But a dear friend of ours, a biographer of Ali, most recent biographer, Jonathan Eig, had just said as we were working on Jackie 7 or 8 years ago, this is a great story. And we, of course, went, oh, my God, how did we ever spend 40 years doing this and not have thought about it before. So we've just dove in wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, I grew up with him. I remember my dad telling me that he won gold in the 60 Olympics when I was 7 years old. The story is just beyond anything of our wildest understanding. And look, I should just say, there are a lot of documentaries on Muhammad Ali, and there are lots of good ones, really, really good films, and we're not attempting to replace them or change them. We just noticed that they were about a specific fight or a series of fights or about a couple-year period. We really wanted to do Soup to Nuts from, you know, birth and boyhood in Jim Crow segregated Louisville, Kentucky, to death by Parkinson's not 5 years ago in 2016.
So how does one approach an iconic figure that has been talked about and documented his story in so many different ways, as you just pointed out? How do you attack such an endeavor, Ken Burns?
You know, I remember Shelby Foote said to me when I was working on the Civil War, he said, God is the greatest dramatist, which is a way of saying, and then, and then, and then. So we just literally start at the beginning. Obviously, we're going to do deep research. We're going to read. We're going to try to find, and we did find in database 15,000 photographs, 400 or 500 hours of footage of him, and particularly interviews of him, that some of which have never been seen the light of day since they were originally taken. You know, home movies and stuff that definitely is from folks' garages that has never been seen before. The families called me up and said, wow, I never saw that picture of him holding me and saying, don't you know your daddy's the baddest in the world? So we feel like we did a good deep dive. And then it's just working with scholars and people to make sure that we can not just animate the boxing story, which is like the collected works of William Shakespeare, but also this journey in faith, just becoming a member of the Nation of Islam. It's not enough just to mention it or describe what it was. It's an ongoing fluid process of a young man finding something that gave some meaning to his life at that point, and then maturing with it over the course of his life, where he sort of sheds it in order to embrace, you know, the more orthodox, the more, you know, mainstream Islam, which the sect, the Nation of Islam, was. And it's also about the personal life, four wives, you know, that means three divorces, lots of kids, that means children of divorces, money, all of that sort of stuff. It was an attempt to have a comprehensive, integrated view of the whole of Muhammad Ali. And if you think about it, he touches every single issue of the last half of the 20th century, the role of sports in the United States, the role of a black athlete, the definitions of black masculinity, about the dimensions of the civil rights movement, about faith, about religion, about Islam, about politics, about war. I mean, all of that he touches, and all of those themes are still relevant. So in the end of the day, you have a film, I think, that is about freedom. It's very difficult for a black man in this continent to escape the specific gravity of that circumstance. It's about courage, a young man in his 20s who says he's willing to stand up to machine gun fire rather than go against his faith. We took it as a political statement, but it was a faith statement to not fight in Vietnam. And then, of course, a very difficult topic, one that the FCC, a four-letter word that the FCC allows you and me to use, but we don't have a very good track record of actually talking about it in depth, which is, this is a story about love. He dies the most beloved person on the planet after being in the 1960s and early 70s seemingly one of the most divisive people. Because I say seemingly only because I think it's a lot of what was projected into him rather than what he himself did.
Ken Burns here on the Rich Eisen Show. Muhammad Ali is coming your way to your PBS station starting September 19th, this Sunday at 8 Eastern, a four-part series. What did you learn about him?
Ken. Everything. I mean, I thought I knew him. My whole life accompanied his, and I watched him. I met him. You know, I just think there's all of these dimensions. There's great humor. There's great pathos. There's great, you know, tension. You could take the first Liston fight, and you could almost, you know, no Hollywood producer would, you know, buy it. Or the Thrilla in Manila, in which he said he was closest to death, or when he wins the championship from Foreman, when most people in his corner are worried that he's going to be killed, he actually destroys Foreman. You know, there's all of that. And then there's the the intimate moments where we sort of say, well, in that early period, all he did was brag and make jokes and recite poetry. And, you know, I'm so bad I can drown a drink of water and kill a dead tree. When in fact, there's several things that we discovered that were so thoughtful and wise that belied his age, belied the job that he was doing, the career that he'd chosen, and were speaking to sort of big, heavy things, you know? And I'm just stunned at the intimacy of who this guy, he knew early on. He put on boxing gloves, and within a few months, he's saying, I'm going to be the greatest. And everybody's going like, yeah, right. You don't have anything. And he was the greatest. Or he'd say stuff like, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad doesn't want me to box, so I don't need to box. And the guy says, you give up boxing? He goes, yeah, I don't need to box, but I know I'm here for a purpose. And you could see that early on as a young kid. He knew he was put on this earth for something else.
The thing that, you know, really struck me when he passed away, Ken Burns, was the number of people, and I'm not just talking about famous people, peers, or people who covered him, the number of just regular citizens around the globe that posted photographs that they had with him, that he stopped and took photographs and talked to people, and everyone had a story. Honestly,
yeah.
Like, it was wild to me how much he got around, you know? It's crazy, Ken.
The people's champ. He always wanted to give that. I mean, when he says, I'm pretty as a girl, I'm beautiful, I'm black, I'm beautiful, we think it was a part of an unexpected braggadocio that up until that point, athletes weren't supposed to behave, and certainly black athletes weren't supposed to behave that way. But what he was doing was he was giving permission to people, black people around the United States, but oppressed people everywhere, the permission to feel good about themselves. And so he is on so many continents, Africa, you know, North Africa, Middle East, Asia, South America, as well as here at home, a beloved figure, and Europe as well, a beloved figure. And as David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker and a biographer of early Clay's life, Eaton just said that, you know, by the time he dies, he's revered almost like a religious figure, like the Buddha. Everybody has that story because he took the time. It wasn't like, okay, we're done with the autograph session. How much did I make? Let's go. It was no pay, just here I am. I will give you until you're satisfied. I met him once. It was the same way. It's just the generosity of spirit. It didn't matter. You know, it was just so pure, and I'm still impressed with what he is. And having said that, Rich, you know, this film doesn't pull any punches about his failings. You know, they're all over and in every single episode, and he becomes aware of them and tries his best at the end of his life to atone. He feels there's a tallying angel, and that the way he's treated women, his unfaithfulness to his wives, the way he cut off Malcolm X so abruptly when ordered to by Elijah Muhammad just before Malcolm X was murdered by the Nation of Islam, and also the way he had treated Joe Frazier by using, as the scholar Todd Boyd said, you know, the language of a white racist about his opponent. He said, this is the ultimate conscious black guy using the language of a white racist. He says something that was a key for me in understanding Ali. He says, I just think in this instance, he used his powers for evil instead of good. And I go, oh, that's right. We're making a film about a superhero. That's what this is. Mm. This is a superhero in every sense of the word. The Marvel stuff is just, you know, DOA as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who lived a larger-than-life life that we can all participate in and take what we can from. It's not that, you know, the world had opinions of him. The world changed its opinions of him as he grew, and more importantly, we grew. And I think one of the great gifts of Muhammad Ali is he asked us to be different than we were.
The filmmaker, director, and writer of co-writer and co-director of Muhammad Ali, which is going to be on PBS, four-part series, Sunday, September 19th at 8 Eastern time. Ken Burns here on The Rich Eisen Show, and the few minutes I have left with you, I would be remiss if I did not speak to one of the greatest chroniclers and documenters of baseball from that spectacular baseball film that you put together back in the 90s all the way through. So what do you make of Ohtani? somebody who's I'd love to get your perspective on what Shohei Ohtani's putting out on the field right now.
It's just so exciting because you've got the shades of Babe Ruth, and you've got a kind of revitalized sense of, I mean, the game, everybody's always willing to write baseball's obituary. I had a quote in the film in the first episode of the baseball series in which in 1858 they were writing the obituary of baseball. You know, some guy named Pete O'Brien was saying, oh, you know, they don't play baseball the way they used to when I was a kid. I don't mean the rules are different, but the spirit's gone or this is gone, you know. And we've been writing that obituary for so long, and it's always this ever-changing sense of surprise. And Shohei Ohtani just gives you this opportunity to go, this is why this is the best game ever invented. You know, it's not just that the defense has the ball. It's not just that there's no clock. It's not just that the human being scores, but that we have so many different personalities and so many different skill sets. As the greatest basketball player, or one of the greatest basketball players of all time, discovered when he tried momentarily to switch and could not hit a buck 85 in the national pastime, this is a really tough thing to do, to take a bit of turned northern ash or now maple and hit a horsehide or whatever it is now coming at you at 100 miles an hour and deciding in a millisecond to hit it. And that the people who fail 7 times out of 10 are going to the Hall of Fame if they do that for 15 years.
It is great. Seinfeld once told me the greatest thing he thinks about baseball is that it's the only sport where it's the equality, the democracy of talent and physique, that essentially somebody the size of Aaron Judge and the size of Jose Altuve are both MVP candidates in the sport.
Yeah, and that's not true of football or hockey or basketball, right? I mean, you do have your Spud Webb every once in a while, but look at Maddox. You know, Greg Maddox looks like an accountant, Dan Okrent said in our film. You know, it's like he should be coming off the mound with a briefcase, right? And he's one of the greatest pitchers of the last, you know, couple of generations.
Now, I know you have to go, but I do want to shoehorn one last in here for your Muhammad Ali film. Give me the good stuff on Cosell. You got some good stuff on Cosell?
Yeah, I think Cosell got, as David Remnick says in the film, he got Cassius Clay. I mean, he too long he bugged him by not changing the name. But at the beginning, he's pretty critical of him for the braggadocio, but he comes around and understands him as a kind of avatar of a new athlete. Not just a black athlete, but a new athlete. And I think they both, particularly Ali, who's a master showman and promoter, understood they could ride each other's coattails, even with the antagonism. At the heart of it, I think, is a deep love, and Cosell really understood the change agent that Ali was, and he came around to him, and he helped a lot of us. I remember watching stuff with my dad, and Howard Cosell was the first person that gave me permission to love Muhammad Ali at a time when people were still just so opposed to him for the change of the name, for the bragging, for the changing to Muslim and all that sort of stuff. And then the anti-war stuff, I agreed with that. But Cosell's an important part of this story, an important dimension, a guy from Brooklyn who kind of realizes that he can go far on this guy and this guy can go far on him, and that what they're celebrating is the essential humanity of both people.
I love it. And I'm sure you've heard the Billy Crystal story of what Muhammad Ali leaned over and said to him and asked him during Cosell's funeral, right? You heard that story, Ken?
No, tell me, please.
He said, Billy Crystal says he's sitting next to Muhammad Ali at the funeral, and the casket's right there in front of him, and Ali leans over and says, do you think he's got his toupee on in there? That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what Crystal said.
Perfect.
I mean, that's just unbelievable. Well, I'm honored that I could give you a little tidbit after your documentary is in the can and getting ready to be.
And I always learn stuff after the fact.
That's
Rich,
all right.
And you go, oh, man, I think I can put that in. You know, somebody told me that, you know, the Parkinson's have taken over, and that Ali was not pathetic, but just he was so sad that he couldn't get up at all the different things at Frazier's funeral, and everybody was jumping up and jumping. Finally, at the end, he gets up, but he can't stop clapping, and Lonnie has to sort of stop the arms from clapping. And I just, you know, that just broke my heart. Just broke my heart.
I cannot.
The fact that Frazier never forgave him, even though Ali apologized to him.
I cannot wait to see it. Ken Burns, thank you for coming on. Again, starting Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern on PBS, the four-part series, Muhammad Ali. Let's do this more often. I really enjoyed this chat.
I'm there anytime.
Thank you. That's Ken Burns right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Locked in, right?
Wow. That's going to be awesome. Yeah.
I was looking over at you during the conversation. Like, you're in, TJ. I know that I am.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Maybe I'll do the double dip Muhammad Ali, Bobby Axelrod on Sunday night.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one, though, guys.
Man, yeah, this is going to be.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know, I've told you guys before, like, my parents separated early, so I didn't really have a lot of sports stories with my dad, but boxing was one of the things that we shared. So, you know, when you read C-Spot Run books when you're a kid, you learn how to read?
Sure.
I didn't do that. Like, my dad had an old chest full of Ring and KO and boxing magazines. Mm-hmm. So as a kid, I'd sit there and I'd look at these magazines, and that's how I learned how to read, was reading boxing magazines.
No kidding.
As a kid. Yeah, so Ali was just, he's my sports idol. When Ali died, it was a Saturday morning. I'm going to be honest. I sat on my couch for like an hour straight and just bawled over a man I'd never met. And that's just, I think a lot of people had that feeling with Muhammad Ali and what he meant to them.
And again, like taking on a subject matter of somebody who's already been covered and documented in his life. I mean, like, what do you not already know about Muhammad Ali? And then he's like, well, we found photographs and we found video of him that even his family's like, where'd you get that?
That's amazing.
I can't wait to see it. And it starts on Sunday on PBS.
Well, Ken Burns is good at what he does, too.
Yes, he is, sir. He is. And it's a team effort with him and his family. Let's take a break. Phone calls. We'll get to your phone calls. There is a major injury update in the National Football League. All still to come here on this show.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready to explore like never before.
Swiper knows. Swiping.
Oh, man. Swing into action.
We need your help.
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora. I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this. Todos juntos! Yeah!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
You know, it's funny how things work out in life that, in a way, Pete Carroll might not be going for his second consecutive Lombardi Trophy with the Seattle Seahawks if it weren't for November 27th, 1994. When Pete Carroll was a head coach of the 7-4 New York Jets, went up against the Miami Dolphins. Look, and my next guest here on the Rich Eisen Show, Dan Marino, decided to fake spike. The Jets lost that game. Their last four games fired Pete Carroll. And here is Dan Marino sitting here at Super Bowl 49. It's all your doing.
It's all my fault, but maybe not my fault. Maybe it's really good for Pete.
Sure, it's your doing. Maybe it's your handiwork.
I'm taking
your
one credit spike for handiwork. You know, some credit for Seattle's success.
Dan Marino, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah. Have you ever spoken about that play with Pete Carroll? Have you ever revisited that?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've talked to Pete a little bit about it. And there were some other guys. Some guys that coached with us, with Jimmy Kippen Brown, was a running back coach. He's still out of Seattle now.
Oh, yeah.
Some other guys that were on that staff.
And what are the contents of that conversation?
That we got them fired. So I claim to fame is I got Pete Carroll fired.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's funny.
And it truly is amazing how things work out, because he goes from there.
He's a great football coach, obviously. I mean, that's just, you know, it was just that year, what happened that year for him just was bad luck, I guess.
Well, but in a way, too, you take a look at Tom Brady and what he has become is always from what built him. And adversity and things of what happened at Michigan, and he was swapping out quarters and snaps with Drew Henson, and he was picked 199th overall.
And he got his opportunity, you know, when Drew got hurt.
Right. What was that for you? What was that moment for you that you were always using as a fire for your career?
You know, I think at first, it probably was, you know, when I got drafted late in the first round. Now, I was still happy I got drafted in the first round, but there was teams telling me I was going to be drafted higher.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in the middle rounds, end up being, you know, at the end of the round. And there was a lot of teams that I thought they were going to pick me that didn't. So maybe that gave me that little bit of an edge. You know, I would say, you know, when you're to work out and to get in the best shape of my life to be ready to go to be the quarterback for Miami Dolphins. I would say that probably, you know, that was probably it for me as far as my pro career is concerned.
The other
thing would be when I tore my Achilles. You know, I tore my Achilles and the comeback from that, you know, because taking, you know, sometimes you take things for granted in life, you know. And I think at that time I played so many games in a row and for 11 years and all that and had a lot of success. And then I tear my Achilles and now I can't do what I, you know, that I loved doing for such a long time and wasn't sure I was going to be able to play again.
Right.
And that kind of hits you right in the forehead sometimes, too.
And in many ways, if that hadn't happened, Scott Mitchell might not have been on the Biggest Loser this year.
That's exactly. Well,
That sliding he got door
paid.
Right there.
He got paid. He made some cash in Detroit.
Happy 60th birthday to number 13, Dan Marino. Let's take some phone calls here on the Rich Eisen Show, as promised. Manny in El Paso. It's been a while. What's up, Manny?
Hello, gentlemen. How is everyone?
Manny!
This is the number one show listened to at work by me.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Eisen, glad you're healthy and back in your chair, sir.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard yesterday you were saying that as a sportscaster, you want to put the fan in your shoes. You do just that.
Thank you.
It's like Chris when he's opening up a pack of cards. Mike petting dolphins on the side of his boat. I mean, come on, weren't we all with TJ on The Price is Right? Didn't we all think we could win that car?
Yes, absolutely.
That's the idea, man. And we were all living and dying with him, trying to be more entertaining than accurate. And, you know, that's all I could say. Well, we've enjoyed the popcorn, though.
Well, I enjoyed it, too. But my question for you, sir.
Yes.
Who's going to upset you more this year, the Yankees or the Jets? The Yankees went 13 in a row. They stumbled against the Mets. The pitching is shaky at best, and then yesterday they're dropping bombs all over Camden Yards. And the Jets, well, they'll always still be the Jets. My other question is for my buddy TJ, my fellow Cowboy fan.
Let's go.
Whom does he want as a backup quarterback for Dak? Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick? And why wasn't his name brought about when QBs were being looked for?
Well,
the only thing I know about Cooper Rush is that he's got Canada's greatest rock band on the back of his jersey.
Thank you very much. Well done. Manny in El Paso, everybody.
NASCAR's in playoffs. Baseball's going on. Hockey is next month. Gentlemen, be safe. Be kind. Always choose the middle key.
Thank you.
That's a mic drop. The guy rocking.
Kaepernick's not happening.
Well, you know, Manny, the thing is, he hasn't played a game since, 2016? You can't. Not the toughest position to play in sports. You can't go that long.
In Dallas, too?
And then just jump in and be successful.
Jerry's going to be the one who brings Kaepernick back in the fold?
It's just the timing. It's too long. Too much time has passed.
Cam should happen. I mean, Cooper Rush is a safety net that's ready to be sliced in half by the rest of the NFC East and the rest of the NFL, with all due respect to Cooper Rush.
I mean,
which, as you know, is the least respectful way to do it. If I really respected it, I would have done it in advance.
Yeah. I mean, Dak were to go down, then sure, Cam. But I'd rather have Cam than Cooper Rush. Again, no disrespect to Cooper.
But you got
to
get Cam in now.
But you'd have to get him in.
Yeah, let's get him up to speed.
I just don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not sure. But out of those two, I'd rather have Cam. To answer Manny's question.
Well, that's when I said Cam was cut loose. I'm like, the place that makes sense for him is there. I mean, what quarterback situation would have to be so decimated for him to get a shot to start now off the couch in 2021? And again, I know, you know, Peter King had mentioned he was on the halftime show of Westwood One of Monday Night Football.
Yeah, how'd that go, by the way?
It was great. It was great. And just all I know is that the first game I ever did as a host of Monday Night Football turned out like that. So you're welcome, right? America.
You're the Gus Johnson. Yeah.
Direct correlation.
I'm the Gus Johnson. I know. After I did my halftime, it went off the rails. But Peter King pointed out it looks like he's unvaccinated. Yeah. And that is a factor. Like, you're going to bring in somebody who's unvaccinated who now can be somebody who's possible to be out 10 days. If he's a close contact, you know, I mean, it's something that you have to add on if you're bringing somebody in the middle of a season. And that was brought up in terms of Washington, because Ron Rivera was his head coach when he first got out of Auburn. He was his head coach in his Super Bowl MVP season. But once again, it's Kyle Allen's gig, not Cam's. in D.C. Yeah. So I don't know when he's like, what would have to happen? Like two quarterbacks would have to go out significantly to get Cam off. Let's call him up. Let's go right now. It's still a little early. I just don't know what 2021 is going to look like for Cam.
Well, the great thing is, guys, we've got 16 more weeks of football.
Right, isn't that great?
Seventeen more games.
Seventeen more weeks.
That's great.
We're going to have to get used to it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get used to a week 18. We're going to have to get used to, hey, stats are going to be different. Or the way I led the show, that you don't want to start 0-2. Right. Well, how many 0-2 teams could have made the playoffs that didn't? Had there been
an extra game,
an 18th week in the NFL, you get one more shot at it. 0-2 teams, that might change. 0-3 might be the new 0-2. I'm serious.
Orange was the new black.
You know, like 0-2 might not be the death knell that it has been in previous years. Only 30 0-2 teams made the playoffs since 1990. 30, and none in the last two seasons. So there's that. John Lovitz, hour number three, a major injury piece of news in the National Football League that might affect your fantasy team, coming up in hour number three. So after yesterday's show, I was going to do some extra voiceover work for the Epic Show Icons that I'll be doing this year. It's not the grind this year. It's now a documentary, a one-hour documentary, NFL Films produced on all-time great football players. I voiced the first episode, Brett Favre. That's coming out. It's,
Rich, how many jobs do you got right now?
I got
man?
A few. Yeah, really? I got a few. I got a few. I'm adding on a plate. But I got a call from Suze, you know, yesterday, and I'm hurrying home because, as you know, we had a lot going on her plate after yesterday's show. Reason why I bring this up is Suze calls me up. She's like, hey, you haven't gotten your teeth cleaned in a while. I have this appointment I can't make. Can you go?
Nice.
So I rearranged my schedule, and I went.
I got to go.
And I'm sitting in the dentist's office. And, you know, there's a couple people behind the glass, but it's all really enclosed, and there's workers going in and out.
Was it safe? You were
happy? Yeah, we're all masked. That's not the reason why I bring it up, but I'm sitting there in the waiting room, and it says there, please do not use your cell phone, you know, here.
Right.
But I'm in the mode where I'm constantly looking at videos, and I'm constantly trying to keep up straight, you know, on stuff for here. So there's a video that pops up, and I'm like, I got to listen to it. And I listen to it out loud, you know, try to put it close to my ear, but people heard it. And this was the video. Go ahead, roll it.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this. But do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching, you know, quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many. But there are a few I like. And he always talking about touch D's or you know, suck on these or all that.
Charlie.
I think he's encouraging words like, so loud I can't get your reaction.
I don't know how to follow that one up.
Exactly. How do you follow that up?
So let's just say I rinsed touch and spat D's. Before I even get my teeth cleaned.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Touch D's.
We got an update. Oh, Lane Kiffin adds some valuable insight on Saban's D's nuts jokes. Oh, Marlon Humphrey started it, huh?
Marlon Humphrey, yeah.
Saban took it from there. D's nuts are a process. Good line, Joe Goodman Jr. Good line.
Oh, man. All right. You don't even understand.
Well, my battery's telling me to suck on D's.
Oh.
Yeah, Del Tufo. No. Good job. I blame you for everything bad. Just like my wife.
You need batteries?
Does for me.
Yeah, right. He does.
Hour number three coming up. We'll be charged.